Dr. Google can't fix your knee. The Joint Relief Institute can. Fast joint pain relief, covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Now, your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
And here we are at 11 and a half after 12 o'clock on this Tuesday afternoon. Thanks very much for tuning in to the Wintrust Business Lunch. We're live in the Allstate Showcase studio right along Michigan Avenue. Coming up later in the program, Kelly Leonard will be here. You know, he's got that podcast, Getting to Yes And. And his guest this week talks about the value of dissent, how we all are stronger when we're surrounded by the quality dissent. And so we will kick that around a little bit later. John and Jerry's on a phone line. John, you know, I started getting ready for the show this morning, and I was thinking of Ethel Merman. Everything's coming up roses. Corporate earnings were big. The Dow was up 130 points. Consumer confidence soaring. And I look up and the Dow is down now, or was just a minute or two ago, by 400 points. What's going on?
The 10-year rate crossed 3%, Stephen, and that was like a line in the sand, apparently, in the short term. And I do believe that's a short term move, because it's inevitable. We're going to see higher interest rates, just not a lot higher, just a little bit. That's my opinion. And that's what the Fed has said. So
it crossed the 3% yield pretty early in the trading session, right? But the drops have accelerated in the past hour or so.
True. And here's a couple of the reasons behind that. Facebook, a couple reports say that Facebook has a number of private and personal information not gleaned by them, but posted by people on Facebook that are looking to sell Social Security numbers, credit cards, passports, numbers, and things like that. And it's almost impossible when you've got a service that works with 2.5 billion people, Stephen.
Right.
Almost impossible, no matter what your artificial intelligence or AI is, or 20,000 new hires just to monitor all this stuff. How can you possibly see all of that stuff on a second-by-second basis? They're going to get to it, but, I mean, it's a question of if something new goes up, how long is it up there? And today's news that there were these things, again, not gleaned, not stripped by Facebook, but placed on there by individuals that are trying to sell this information. It's the first time we know of that they've used this instead of the dark web.
So we saw, you know, the phrase is the FANG stocks, right? What is it? Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google. Is that FANG? Did I leave anyone out?
Nope.
But they've been suffering today. Is it because of Facebook, or are there other reasons too?
Well, Google, they sold that stock rather hard as well. Because of the security measures Google is going to have to go through and so forth. So it seems like a risk-off day, continuing to put bad mojo onto the tech sector. Google, Facebook, Apple are all under pressure because of that. But, boy, the Google numbers were pretty phenomenal last night, both revenue or sales numbers as well as bottom line. And they're investing pretty heavily now, billions of dollars back into our country, into America, which is great. But people are just viewing it today as an opportunity to get out rather than to buy on the news. It's a sell on the news event.
I want to talk again about the 10-year yield of above 3%. You said you think this is a short-term thing. Not that it's above 3%, correct, but just the reaction, the negative reaction on Wall Street. That's what you think is the short term.
Yes, sir. I think an awful lot of the guests on our program, really smart guests, so I'm not demeaning their opinion at all. I'm just saying a lot of those guests, like Jeffrey Gundlach out there at Double Line Capital and others, have said that the market is going to struggle to digest 3% interest rates. And my pushback to them is if we get the corporate growth, earnings growth and so forth that we expect, and that most of these companies have delivered so far, I think we can deal with 3% and higher interest rates. But in the short term, people have elected to hit the sell button. I think it creates an opportunity rather than indicating that the market has topped out.
I see. You're right, because, you know, for guys like me who don't really know what they're talking about and just watch guys like you, you know, it's interesting to me. It's like, well, okay, so it topped 3%. The interest rates are going up. We knew this was going to happen. Why would you react so swiftly to this particular number?
Well, and the answer is most people are not reacting so swiftly to this number. But, again, you talk about this all the time on your show, Stephen, which is why I listen. People aren't the ones pulling the trigger on these trades. These are algorithms. In many cases, news reading algorithms, as soon as they saw Facebook opened over $165 a share today. But as soon as this news hit, you can see it to the very second that this news hit, the stock sold off $6. Now it's $5 to the downside now, but it basically got slammed all the way into the 150s.
That is fascinating to me.
That creates opportunities, so, but these are not humans. These are algorithms.
So what you have are humans creating machines to react more quickly than humans in order to get a benefit, but that's got to cost them too.
Right? To the extent that they can get ahead of the others, I mean, their game is all about speed, and you and I can't trade or read as fast as a news reading algorithm that's looking for keywords can read.
But can't there be a misreading of a headline? I mean,
you bet.
It seems like that's happened recently.
Time.
Yeah, right.
Yep, happens all the time. And on that day, they pay the piper. But on days like today, they do very well because, again, they're way ahead on the Facebook news, Google news, Caterpillar news, you name it. And they're able to take a short position and buy back those short positions at a much lower price, creating that profit opportunity.
We're talking to John Najarian. You see him on CNBC. Also follow him on Twitter at John Najarian. All right, what are you looking at today? What do you suggest?
All right. We like a Chinese company of all things today. We like JD, which is J period D period. You know, it's a Chinese internet play. We like that one. We see what may be a triple bottom in this stock, and it looks like a pretty cheap entry right around the $36 mark. So we've been buying that one today on this dip.
John Najarian, great to talk to you again. We'll do it again next week.
Thank you, Stephen. Have a great one.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Bertrand, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
It's coming up on 1223 here on the Business Lunch, and I can tell you right now I feel a little underdressed for this segment. Jennifer Keegan is in the studio from Hart, Schaffner & Marks. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Is that what you do? Do you walk in and say, that guy could really use this sort of fashion update? And
Usually.
And so how am I doing?
A lot of times I just keep it inside.
Do you?
But
you know, I interviewed Annie Leibovitz one time. And
oh, you
asked,
did?
And I asked her about that. I said, see photographs? And that's what she, you know, she, that's her frame. She walks around seeing photographs. I would imagine you almost are...
I've never been compared to that, to Annie before.
Right,
now
right.
I'm a little bit, yeah.
But I suppose there's something to that, right? I mean, you're always looking at what men are wearing.
What they're wearing and how it fits. How it fits.
And tell me about what they're wearing, because you sell, you know, you guys are in the suit business.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that people don't wear suits the way they used to.
They don't, but they are wearing them. So whereas, you know, decades ago, Hart, Schaffner & Marks has been around for 130 years. Decades ago, it was the full-on suit, tie, you know, head to toe. Now
right.
It's wearing a suit, but maybe it's a shirt with the collar open, no tie. And then kind of the uniform of the day is really nice denim, crisp white shirt, and a, you know, blazer that goes over a sport coat.
So business hasn't suffered, it's just adapted.
Business is terrific. It really has adapted. And what's been really interesting over the last sort of decade is the interest in made to measure, which is a big part of our business
as well.
Tell
me about that.
You can go into some of our main partners, Nordstrom's, Dillard's, pick out the fabric you want, the lining you want, buttons, and really customizing it.
I hear these advertisements for companies, maybe you do this, so I don't know what the answer is going to be, that you can take pictures of yourself and post them on, or send them online to a company.
Yeah, we don't do that.
Does that work?
I think it does for a lot of people.
Does it? Yeah.
There's a lot of really great services out there to help guys style themselves. And just what you're talking about is really important for fit also, which
right.
is what we've always been the best at.
Hard for me to imagine that a picture that you take yourself can help someone figure out, a tailor figure out what kind of shirt you're going to wear. And who cares? Because you don't do it anyway.
That's right. But it is interesting.
Well, you know, we talk to different businesses here, Chicago Treasures and things like that. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they're younger businesses starting up. Hartshafter & Marks has been around for coming up on 150 years. Is that possible?
Just over 130.
Wow.
But yeah, it is possible.
And tell me about the origin of the company.
Started by the Hartshafter & Marks brothers, and really, you know, were the first suit makers. They had a haberdashery right in downtown Chicago, right on Wacker.
Immigrants, right?
Yep, absolutely immigrants.
And they put the zipper in the pants?
First zipper in the pants.
Ever? Really?
Yes. So before that, it was all buttons, and someone had a big epiphany of, wait, let's do this. So yeah, we're the first ones to zipper the pant, and also the first company to really decide and figure out that all guys aren't made alike and do different fits. So
I should know more about this, but tell me where your suits are sold.
Nordstrom.
I know we're going to talk about a tent sale coming up.
Yes.
Tell me where your suits are sold generally.
Nordstrom's, Dillard's, and then really, you know, across the country, haberdasheries, small retail stores.
How many suits should I have in my closet? I'm not going to tell you how many I do have.
I would say you should have two good, well-fitted suits. A darker that's kind of more of a year-round suit. And then maybe a lighter color that's more, you know, warm weather appropriate.
What's the average? How many suits do most men have? Do you know?
I do not know that. Yeah. But I'm going to find that out.
The answer is 1.3. No, I don't know.
The answer is not enough. And if they come to our tent sale, then they can, you know, double how many they have in their closet.
Now, I'm going to be at the tent sale on Friday. Excited about this?
I am. Everyone's asking.
I am. Tell me about the tent sale.
So the tent sale is kind of legendary. Hearts has had it for, again, decades. We had a little bit of a break for a while, and then we brought it back a couple years ago. So it's a semi-annual sale. It's basically all first quality product, but it's from primarily last season. And we sell suits that are typically $8.95. You can get them for $2.95, $2.99.
Wow.
And it's something that is as much for the city of Chicago and the pride that, you know, our staff have. We have people that have worked for the company for 50 years, and they love interacting with people, and the line is incredible. We start getting emails and phone calls, you know, 3 months in advance asking when it is.
And are there tailors there, or how does that work?
There's no tailors.
Okay.
Basically, it's you're buying it off the rack. We have all of our staff. Everybody works the sale, so you have the people that are designing it, manufacturing it, in our purchasing department. So the people that really know the product are there helping you.
All right, I'm going to be there on Friday, I think from 2 to 4.
Yeah.
So people come by and say hello to me.
Yes.
How do people find out more information, and how do they get there?
Well, so our location is on a TUI, so it's really right out kind of by O'Hare, Allstate Arena. And go to our website, which is www.wdiamondgroup.com, and we have all of the sale information there.
I'm sure if you search Hartshafter & Marks tent sale too, it'll come up.
It will come up.
Friday,
yes, it will.
10 to 7, Saturday 10 to 6, and Sunday 10 to 4.
Yes.
Thank you very much for coming by. I appreciate it. Jennifer Keegan, I'll see you on Friday.
You will.
It's the
rain or shine.
Oh,
we'll be there.
Now, your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
And here we are, 1238 in the Allstate Showcase Studio along Michigan Avenue on this Tuesday afternoon. All right, you know we like to talk to businesses. Just talk to Hartshafter & Marks, goes back to the 1870s. This next business I have in the studio, I just like kind of hanging out with them, so that's why they're here. A couple of guys, Ishan Daya and Jimmy Paul from Crafty Delivers. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you
for having us.
Now, Jimmy, did I meet you at the Tyree event?
You did.
I did. Okay,
yeah.
Right. Okay. So I emceed the James Tyree semifinalists a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about Crafty on the air the week before because you guys were in the Chicago Inno March Madness competition.
We were indeed.
You guys have been kind of in my radar for a few weeks, but then I met both of you, had a great time talking to you. I mean, it was memorable, obviously, Jimmy, because I didn't recall.
Oh, no, it was fantastic.
All right, who's going to tell me the story of Crafty and how it is that you got into the office place?
So we really started in 2015. We were working in offices downtown in Chicago, and
you guys were four college friends?
Yeah, four college
Northwestern.
Friends. Northwestern.
Yep. Going your own way.
And within these offices, we saw a need for getting craft keg beer into these offices. And maintaining the kegerators, keeping a good pour. And we kind of put our heads together, started talking to offices all around Chicago. If we could make this easier, make a marketplace, have a big selection, and manage your kegerators, would you be interested?
You know, it's fascinating for me because I was talking to someone who I work with upstairs, and the idea of there being a keg in the workplace just, you know, if it's like a different sort of station. If you're an older worker, we're not used to it, but it's pretty common now, right?
It really is. It was actually pretty surprising to see the breadth of companies that have services like this or want services like this. So, you know, we started with this idea of, you know, all the startups that you can think of, you know, the Sprout Socials, the Yelps, having kegerators in their offices. But as time went on, we found, hey, there are some like pretty old companies that are
the staid companies too, right?
So like you're thinking about folks like PwC and McKinsey and Company that are, you know, these older conservative companies that want to have these services to recruit the same type of talent that Sprout and Yelp have.
Is that what this is about? Is about finding workers and retaining workers?
Just about entirely.
Yeah. Okay, so you get in with the beer. Right. And then you get your employer a little tipsy and you say, hey, now see what I can sell you.
I mean, that's kind of the passageway that happened. Right. So effectively, we came in with the beer in December of 2015. And then come, I think it was around April, May, this whole craze of cold brew in the office started coming about.
OK.
And we were like, hey, you know, we've got beer on tap. Why not also put cold brew on tap? And instead of just servicing people between, you know, 4 p.m. and 6 p.m., some offices 12 p.m., it would increase to being, all right, let's put something on tap from 7 a.m. throughout the day.
And it expanded from there.
Yeah. So after cold brew, we had companies asking us, well, do you do hot coffee? We love your service. We'd love to keep working with you guys. So with hot coffee came snacks, LaCroix, which is
the
biggest craze.
So now you're kind of just like you're an office, you set up the office canteen.
Right? That's exactly right.
And the beauty for you guys is that you're not dealing with a vending machine company and a bagel company. You guys deliver it all, and that's the appeal that you pitch.
Yeah. It all kind of started with the idea of how do we go about streamlining the day-to-day, one, with our operational technology, and then two, by, you know, we're delivering one thing. We may as well deliver a thousand
things.
You're
going to be there anyway.
Yeah.
So was it the plan all along to start with the beer and to grow, or did it just sort of open up to you?
I'd say it's something that really opened up to us.
Right.
And one of the things that made scaling possible in these different categories is we kind of figured out a system where we could keep inventory at these companies' offices and then automate some of the ordering for them. And so by doing that, we're now able to place orders for them, keep everything kind of flowing each day, so you no longer have that burden of taking inventory of 1,000 snacks every single day.
Right. How big are you?
So we're up to 55 employees.
Wow. Started with four a couple of years ago, 55 now. What the majority of them are delivery people, or who are those workers?
So it's pretty evenly split right now. So folks that are in the corporate office that are, you know, account managers, our development team, and then we've got our own warehouse where we've got an incredible warehousing team, honestly, like the most passionate people you will ever meet. And then we've got our delivery team as well. And then we've got a team of folks that are operators that are actually in corporate offices that are doing the merchandising, that are streamlining the inventory, effectively creating the system where, you know, an office manager doesn't have to do things actively, but rather can manage folks that are really specialized.
The best office managers are the ones who don't do anything. We all know that. Ishan Daya, where did you go, or what did you study in school?
I studied flute performance.
Say it again, flute performance?
Flute performance.
Flute performance, I love it.
Yeah.
Jimmy Paul, what did you study?
Computer engineering.
All right, so, well, let's start with flute performance. So then you call your parents and you say, what?
I was like, hey, mom and dad, I don't know if I want to keep on playing flute anymore.
and they said, we knew that before we paid the Northwestern tuition. They must be happy. Things are working out.
Yeah, things have really worked out just like in a direction that I don't think any of us really expected. It's been awesome.
Okay, so we know how big you are. How big are you going to be?
It's a great question. So hopefully in 1 year's time, when we talk to you guys again, we'll be able to say, hey, we're not only in Chicago, but we're in another major market.
Have you started to look at other markets?
Yeah, we are starting that search.
What do you look for when you look for other markets? What is it that you're trying to see or find?
So one is, are the offices there, is this culture, does this exist in other cities? In the cities that it does exist, who are we currently partnered with here that would be, that is pleased and excited to kind of grow with us as
right,
we go into these new markets?
Any ideas yet? You want to tell us who are you going next? Because I'm thinking beer, Milwaukee's not too far away.
Milwaukee's not too far away. I mean, it's a really good question. We think about the folks that are like Boston and New York and LA and San Francisco, and then we think about the folks that are like Cleveland and Milwaukee and Austin. And the question there is mid-market or major market.
All right, it's Crafty is the name of the company. The website is craftydelivers.com, right?
Yep.
And how do people find out more information? Just go to the website?
Yeah,
go sign on the bottom line, and you'll be there with a keg before they know it.
Exactly.
Jimmy Paul, Ishan Daya, thanks for coming by, you guys.
Thank you.
Not make it a year. Come back before then.
Perfect. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Got a minute? Good, because I've got the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing the news, providing input, and breaking down the stories that matter to the world of business. So you've probably heard of Reddit, but are you totally sure about what it is exactly? Let me break it down. Okay, so think of it like a giant website that searches over 100,000 different kinds of communities and interests displayed on one continuous page with over 300 million monthly users. It's an active social site that they call the front page of the internet. The site has already seen a lot of success, and they're opening up an office in Chicago. The site is putting forth an effort to make an advertising and marketing push for the company that's established on the coasts and looking for their next move. And the department store Sears might have been presented their next move as the company's CEO, Edward Lampert, operates a hedge fund, and they're looking to buy out the various parts of the Sears home services like Kenmore brands. Who knows if any other offers will be on the horizon for the struggling Hoffman Estates-based department store, but it could be a much-needed glimmer of hope. Tune in tomorrow for all of your up-to-date business news on WGN Radio.
Back to Steve Bertrand and the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
It's 12:52 here in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Kelly Leonard is in the studio, the host of Getting to Yes And, a cool podcast based, well, Getting to Yes And is based on an improv term, right?
Yeah, it's that you can't get anywhere when you say no, and you have to not just say yes, you have to say yes.
And so how does that apply to the podcast? Just the idea you're opening up to new ideas?
Yeah, so I interview people who have cool ideas, and I find the connect points between their ideas and either stuff that I've dealt with in my life as a business person or just a person. And today's one is real good.
Yeah, I don't want to disagree with you here, but I might have to.
Yeah, okay.
That's just me practicing. Charlene Nemeth.
Yeah. Berkeley professor.
Berkeley wrote a book about dissent?
Yeah, so it's called In Defense of Troublemakers, so you can know exactly why I picked up that title.
You're right, I like that.
And it's science behind dissent. And her basic theory is that people think more independently when consensus is challenged.
So because then your beliefs are exercised, right?
So the idea is that when someone is dissenting, it kind of forces us all to think more with more complexity.
Right.
We have to sort of like justify our position. And dissenters, if you really think at it, they're a pain in the ass. We all get that. But they are at the root of change.
And tell me about the science behind it. This is not just sort of people talking about them at the water cooler.
No, this is all evidence-based studies over time that they've done with people in organizations, corporate psychology, all that stuff. And one of the coolest things is this idea that she has, and I'm going to quote her from the book. She says, "We need to make a distinction between changing attitudes and negotiating a deal. If you want to make a deal, you usually have to compromise. But if you want to change minds, compromise is a bad strategy."
Okay, so we have to put that in the right spot,
yeah,
right? Because we are grown to believe compromise is a good thing.
Sure.
And it can be a good
thing. And it
thing. Is. It just depends on what we're talking about. So give me the distinction. Where does compromise work as opposed to not work?
I think in our relationships, I think in our day-to-day activities, I think in business, we mostly need to compromise. We have to give and take. That's very normal. Here's where you don't want to compromise. If you're trying to change the arc of history, if you're trying to change people's behavior. So you think about Gandhi and you think about King. They were not going to compromise, and that's how, as tragic as their lives ended up being, they gave their lives for this stuff. They were very consistent in their point to change things.
So let's go to the living, though. Does that exist here today? I mean, I'm thinking of the Women's March. Is that an example of it?
Certainly Me Too is part of it, but also, you know, the some of the behavior of our politicians. You look at Mitch McConnell, and I know a lot of people on the left hate this guy. I understand why. We all know where my politics are. I work at Second City. However, if his strategy is that he doesn't like the motive of thinking on the left, the only way he's going to succeed in changing that is by not compromising.
It's an interesting thing you bring up, McConnell, because he is immovable.
Yes, he is.
Right? I mean, so there's this, right now there's some Republicans behind a bill that would protect Robert Mueller.
Yep.
And he said, I'm not going to bring it to the floor. He does not move.
No. And I mean, I would argue from my position that our government is supposed to compromise, that indeed we bring them up. They're supposed to be deliberative. And he's not doing that. But if he thinks, you know, in his mind that this is so important that he needs everyone to change, he is pursuing the right strategy for that.
Is Michael Madigan Illinois' Mitch McConnell? I mean,
maybe. I think he probably is. Sure. I mean, this is the thing.
But now we're talking about two guys who are immovable in places where we want them to be movable.
I think we do. I think we do. And that's why the science behind this stuff is important to understand, because you then can maybe change them, or you know how to battle them. So for me, it recognizes that in my place of business, if I want us all to be thinking critically, I've got to let in voices that disagree with me.
Did she study the disagreeers, the pains in the ass?
Yeah.
And right,
they don't have a happy life. I mean, that's the thing.
That's what I wondered about. Yeah, because we're figuring out, well, it can't be us. It's got to be them.
Yeah.
How we've been.
Galileo. I mean, it goes way back, right? These people who really stuck to their guns and they were right, they suffered for it. And most people do. Like, no one wants the person to speak up. They're a pain, and it's a drag.
So those are the big famous people who are successful.
Yeah.
But
it happens all the time.
I ride the train with a lot of them.
Yeah, you do.
And they're unhappy people.
Yeah, for a good reason. Because, I mean, they're fighting something that every day by sticking to their guns. And the minute you compromise, you aren't going to change anyone. She brings up a great example. The example over and over in the book is the film 12 Angry Men.
Yeah.
As a case study in how to operate. And Henry Fonda in that film does the classic example of he finds one ally, and that's the start. And by the end, because he's dissenting, everyone starts to relook at the evidence differently.
The podcast is called Getting to Yes, and the guest this time is Charlene Nemeth.
Yep.
I'm going to listen to this. I can't wait for this.
Oh, yeah. Check it out. It's really good.
Find it at WGNplus.com.
Yep. And SecondCity.com.
All right, buddy. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Thanks, man.